نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, in the verse that I've recited before you, Allah Ta'ala says that we have created man in the best of molds. His mold, the way we created, the symmetry in our building, in our creation, we have hands that are of equal length, legs that are equally placed, our eyes, our ears. So there's symmetry in our mold. And the nature of man, the composition of man, Allah says, man stands out from the rest of creation, whether it's the animal world, whether it is the angels, because of his composition. Imagine if we were built on fours, like the animal world. How different would life be? So Allah says, we've given you a mold that is very unique. We've given you a composition that is unique to you, that the angels nor do the animal world enjoy. So what is the composition of man? What are we made up of? We are not only made up of flesh. We are made up of four different parts. Together makes us human. One is our physical being, the flesh. Two, we have a spiritual being. Three, we have an emotional being. We have an emotional part to us. And four, we have an intellectual part to us. These four things is what makes us human. Our physique, our spirituality, our intellect, and our emotion. And each of these four things needs to be nurtured for us to live a balanced life. If we neglect any one of these four, if we neglect our physical body, or our spirituality, or our intellect, or our emotion, we'll lead a very imbalanced life, an abnormal existence. And in order to create this harmony between these four aspects that make us human, and in order to harness these four aspects, Allah has blessed us with the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is not about staying hungry. Ramadan is not about being thirsty. No, Ramadan is not abstention from physical joy, food, drink, and our sensual pleasures. Ramadan is a unique gift that Allah has blessed us with. It is about the growth of these four parts of our existence. It is Ramadan, we may not realize it, but we are developing our personality. We are developing the health of our intellect or our spirituality or our emotion. So it is not simply an abstention where people ask so many times, what would Allah gain? What would Allah gain from our hunger? What would Allah gain from our thirst? What would Allah gain from seeing us suffer? Allah asks in the Quran, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. Why? What joy would Allah find in seeing you suffer or seeing you punished? Ramadan is for you. Ramadan is for your growth. Ramadan is for your development. You may not realize it, but it is making a better person out of you in all four aspects. Let us look at the four aspects. Firstly, it is your physical being. There are many studies done to show the impact of Ramadan on your health, how it benefits you in terms of your health. We eat food that is by and large processed food. Not off the ground, not food that is slaughtered and eaten immediately. It is processed. And for food to be processed, when food is processed, it loses its texture. It loses its color. It loses its smell. It loses its taste. And to ensure that, to supplement this loss, we actually in our food eat a cocktail of additives, preservatives, colorants, and a host of chemicals. We are eating more chemicals than nutrients because of processed food. And when these new chemicals turn toxin in the body, and then they are preserved with our fat. When we fast, we burn fat. And this is the process of detoxification of the body. So the liver and the kidneys, etc., are all involved in the process of detoxifying our body from toxins. There is also, because we fast, our digestive system is at rest. We can well imagine at the rate we eat, especially in South Africa, we hardly allow our digestive system to be at rest. In Ramadan, this entire digestive system is given a rest. And in the same way, blood sugars are reduced because the body produces less insulin. The less we eat, the less insulin is produced. So there is a kind of physical overhaul of the body. It is making us stronger, it is making us healthier, and it is creating a better you. So fasting is not some kind of unfair imposition by Allah upon His helpless slaves who just have no choice but to stay away from food. It is about your physical well-being. So that's the first part of what makes us human, our physical self. The second part is your emotional self. Fasting is a journey of self-discovery. Fasting allows you to realize your potential, what you are capable of doing. Fasting is teaching you resolve. Fasting is teaching you willpower. It is teaching you discipline. It is teaching you commitment. Fasting is teaching you, sabr, endurance, perseverance. It is about your emotional development. It is making you a stronger human being emotionally. Therefore, in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you are fasting and someone engages you in argument, first he says, when you're fasting, do not be abusive and do not be argumentative. And then he says that if someone does engage you in an argument, tell him, inni sa'im, I am fasting. Now, what was the relation between the fast and this part of the hadith? Some time ago, there was experiments carried out on the impact that fasting had on your emotional being. How does it change you emotionally? Apart from the fact that you're learning perseverance, you're learning endurance, you're learning commitment, you're learning discipline. You know, there's a common misconception that a hungry man is an angry man. But there's a very big difference between staying hungry and fasting. When people are fasting in Ramadan, the studies found that Ramadan fasting causes increased self-identification, stress tolerance, responsibility and empathy. In other words, people who are fasting in Ramadan, not staying hungry is a different exercise. Here you know, and we'll talk about that a little later, why you're fasting. People who are fasting in the month of Ramadan are known to have decreased anxiety and stress levels. And they have an improved social function. So this idea that a person is fasting, you know, he may just lose his temper, is not consistent with scientific findings. When you are fasting, you have decreased anxiety, you have decreased stress levels, and you have improved social function. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam linked fasting and telling you, when you fast and people engage you, say, I am fasting. Don't get involved in an argument. It is to highlight that fasting has, gives you and affords you the ability to be tolerant, to be forgiving, to be humble. So there is a huge impact on your emotional being through the rigors of Ramadan. It breeds a desire for social responsibility, for compassion. So people tend to be more generous in Ramadan than outside Ramadan. And this is in keeping with the practice of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That a sahabi says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most generous individual of all human beings. We cannot possibly understand the generosity of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when he had nothing in his home but one date, he would give it to a beggar or someone who came to ask him. That was the extent of his generosity, where not at his own personal cost, but at the cost of his wives, at the cost of his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, at the cost of his grandchildren Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, who would cry out of hunger. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go and say, Fatima, why are these children crying? And she would then, say, because there's nothing to feed them. But Despite those circumstances, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's generosity knew no bounds. But the Sahabi says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm the most generous amongst you. And my generosity is at its highest during the month of Ramadan when Jibreel alayhi salam visits me every night. Again, there is this link between fasting and compassion. We are growing emotionally whilst we are fasting. We may not be conscious of it, but there is personal growth through fasting. So one is the impact on your physical being. Two is the impact on your social being. But fasting has an impact on your intellectual capacity also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana. That, O you who believe, if you become Allah conscious, and the purpose of fasting is to create taqwa, to create this Allah consciousness. It says that if you become Allah conscious, يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا, Allah will bless you with the furqan. What is the meaning of furqan? This is very significant. Furqan has two meanings. In the Quran, the battle of Badr is called Yawmul Furqan. The day where there was the separation between Haqq and Batil. Why was the battle of Badr called Furqan? Because on that day, Allah brought down His unseen help, where the Malaika physically took part in the battle of Badr. So Allah is saying, if you want to attract the unseen help in your life, you have to be Allah conscious, and He'll bless you with this Furqan. So that's the one meaning of Furqan. The other meaning of Furqan, the Quran is called Furqan. Why? Because it serves as a yardstick between what is right and what is wrong. So the benefit of Allah consciousness, which is derived through fasting, is Allah gives you the intellectual capacity to determine what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. What do we call wisdom? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا زَهِدَ عَبْدٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا. No slave practices abstinence in this dunya, but إِلَّا أَنْبَتَ اللَّهُ الْحِكْمَةِ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Allah germinates wisdom in his heart. You know, knowledge you can acquire. Wisdom you can't acquire. Wisdom is bestowed on you. Hikmah is bestowed on you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you practice this abstinence, Allah plants the seeds of wisdom in your heart. And what's the result of this wisdom? وَأَنْتَقَ بِهِ لِسَانَهُ. Allah allows you to articulate words of wisdom. You may not have gone to school. You may not have degrees. You may not be experienced and a master in any particular field. But by virtue of your Allah consciousness, Allah plants seeds of wisdom in your heart, which allows you to articulate words of wisdom. And وَبَصَّرَهُ عَيْبَ الدُّنْيَا. Allah gives you such vision that you can see the shortcomings, the trappings of this dunya. Allah gives you wisdom through which you can see the trappings of this dunya. What is good for you and what is bad for you. Wada'aha. Allah gives you the wisdom to see the diseases of this dunya, wa dawa'aha, and its cures. So this is the intellectual benefit of fasting. It's giving us discernment. It's giving us foresight. It's giving us wisdom. We are growing intellectually through our fasting. And the fourth aspect that makes our being, one is the physical, one is the intellectual, one is the emotional, and the fourth aspect is the spiritual. When we fast, we are emulating the state of the malaika. The malaika do not eat. The malaika do not drink. So we, currently our fast is 12 hours. For 12 hours, we are emulating the angels in their purity. And one aspect of it, that is we stay away from food and drink. So we are in ibadah, in worship, like the angels. They spend all their time in worship. Currently, as we fast, we are in ibadah for 12 hours of the day. That's an angelic state that we've entered into. And what does this angelic state do to us? It is sensitizing us to sin. It is creating an appetite to be virtuous. It's creating a distaste for vice. It is teaching us the lessons of humility. It is giving us the desire to make istighfar and to glorify Allah, to lift our hands, to pray to Him, to read the Quran. This is as a result of this angelic state that we enter into by virtue of our fast. So again, fasting is not abstention from, it's not about hunger and thirst. It is about self-development, the development of your personality. And the most significant aspect of fasting is a hadith that you've probably heard very often, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that the smell that comes out from the mouth of a fasting person will be more beloved to Allah on the day of Qiyamah than the smell of musk is to you. What does this really mean? What does scent or perfume do? It evokes a very strong emotional feeling. It creates a sense of pleasantness. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will be looking forward to meeting those who had fasted in the same way that you look forward to be in the company of this perfume seller or one who's placed perfume on him. The satisfaction you get from smelling, you know, perfume, from smelling musk, is far the anticipation with which you will meet Allah will be far greater than the joy you have in smelling musk. Because of your fast, you'll be looking forward to meeting Allah, knowing full well what is in store for you. Because of your fast. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quotes a hadith Qudsi, that is the direct, precise words of Allah. And he says, every action, every good action that man performs is for him. Except fast. Fast is for me, and I will reward him personally for his fast. Which means, for every action, Allah has specified a reward, some kind of reward. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if you read Salah in Jama'ah, it is 27 times more virtuous than reading on your own. So there is some kind of reward specified. If you give charity, based on the level of your sincerity, the Quran says you could earn rewards between 10 times to 720 times, 700 times. Again, there's a reward fixed. So if you do this, you will get that. But when it came to fasting, Allah said, there's no reward. Why? This is part of your sabr. And Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah rewards those who make sabr without any conceivable measure. You cannot imagine what you are getting. There's no way to compute and tabulate the reward for what you are going through. That is left to Allah. There's no specific measure that He has placed. So what is the sabr? Sabr is not a meek state of acceptance. I have to fast, so I'm going to fast. Sabr requires endurance, that you have to do what you have to do. It requires that, you know, you stay away from temptation, so you are able to resist temptation, and you are able to undergo your difficulty. Now, these benefits of fasting on the physical self, the emotional self, the spiritual self, and the intellectual self is only obtained if we fast based on two conditions. That distinguishes hunger from fasting. One is iman and ihtisab. Iman means out of a belief that this is an obligation from Allah, and I will do it, even though it may be difficult, I will submit before my Creator. And number two, ihtisab means you are consciously aware that you are going to be rewarded for whatever you're going through in this month. The Taraweeh may be difficult, but if you're standing in Taraweeh with iman and ihtisab, that, you know, this is an obligation I'm fulfilling, and I'm going to reward it for the pain that I endure, then we would enjoy this personal development in the month of Ramadan. Wa akhru da'wan, alhamdulillah.